Hello and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Couch Brotato Podcast. Coming up on today's show, with baseball lineups and locker rooms left empty during World War II, the newly founded All-American Girls Baseball League brought talented women to the big leagues and brought fans to the stands. Dottie Henson finds herself leading a ragtag group of players who end up winning over the heart of their has-been coach, Jimmy Dugan. A league of their own is coming up next, right here on the Couch Brotato Podcast.
This summer, Tom Hanks is managing the Rockford Peaches.
Are you crying? There's no crying in baseball!
Or are they managing him?
Let's get something started!
On a on the field.
Tom Hanks, Gina Davis, Madonna.
Got him!
A league of their own. Directed by Penny Marshall. Rated PG.
Hey, who's the manager? I am!
Special sneak preview Saturday at select theaters.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Couch Brotato Podcast. Unfortunately, my co-host Adam cannot join us this week. However, I got us a very special guest. A lady that's been on this podcast before. She's the incomparable first lady of the Couch Brotato Podcast. Jen, welcome back to the show. Long time.
Good evening, Mr. Russ. How are you today?
I'm good. I mean, even though we live in the same house and you know how the day went, I appreciate you asking me so all the listeners can get a glimpse into how I'm doing today. I'm doing good. Doing good.
Good. I think it's funny that you say that you haven't seen me for a long time yet. We live together.
I mean, we live in the same space. So, yeah. Right. It's been 4 hours since I've seen you? Yeah. So, yeah. Since I've been home?
Yep. Something like that.
All right. Well, enough of the pleasantries. This week, we decided to do A League of Their Own, a classic baseball movie. And when I brought this up for you to do, I was a little shocked on how enthusiastic you were to do this. I didn't know if this would be your cup of tea, but what resonates so much with you in terms of A League of Their Own?
Well, I love baseball. Baseball is definitely my favorite sport. Especially to watch live. Not much of a fan for watching on TV, but I always watch it live. And I do think that it's fascinating to me. Of course, I'm also a huge feminist. So it's fascinating to me that part of a way to lift American spirits and soldier spirits was to actually introduce women's professional baseball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this movie is based on that real story and just baseball itself combined with the fact of women playing professional baseball and then making a movie about that experience is just, that's what drew me to that movie initially. And then once I watched it, it's not one that I... you know, like Office Space. If you love Office Space like I do, and you just sit down one night and you don't really have anything going on, like Office Space would be a movie that I would go to. Like, oh, let's watch Office Space, or
which you know. Can listen to wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Pandora,
that's
wherever.
True.
Cheap
yes.
Plug of the episode. And thanks yes. for setting that up. I mean,
of
that's
course.
Like 2 minutes.
I didn't even do that intentionally. I just blurted it out. But you're welcome. But this isn't a movie that I would just like be like, hey, let's watch A League of Their Own. That's not something that I would do. But, you know, if somebody recommended like, hey, let's watch this, it's always a movie that I'd be like, sure, why not? I haven't seen it in a while. So definitely not something that I watch like 10 times a year. But I would say that I watch it at least, you know, it's kind of one of those staple type movies you watch once a year or so.
Yeah, if you catch it on TV.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'll watch a couple
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, sit down and watch it for a little bit, for sure.
Watching it recently, I think it's a really good sibling story, too, mm-hmm. between Kit and Dottie, mm-hmm. and both of us being the older siblings in our family. I kind of think that, like, sometimes maybe... my younger brother felt the same way about me, as like I got all the attention. You know, he mm-hmm. was always good at everything, and my brother wasn't as good at things, and he kind of mm-hmm. got a little jealous about that. I don't know if that's some kind of dynamic that you had with your brother.
No, ours isn't the same. It was actually kind of reversed. Mm-hmm. So he was the athletic one, and he always played like baseball, football in school. And I was the nerdy bookworm that kind of kept to herself. And I was in drama club and choir and things like that. I did do gymnastics when I was a kid, but I didn't do, you know, the school sports, the city rec sports, or anything like my brother did. So our roles were actually reversed.
So like were you envious of your brother being like, so like, I'm not just talking about athletics, just in general. It seemed like whenever he tried something, he was always good at it.
Oh yeah, for sure. He could do, you know, pick up pretty much anything. And when it came to like athletics or anything like outdoorsy or anything like that, you know, for example, like I'll use frisbee golf as an example, not anything he's ever played. And that's why I use that as that example. But if he went out to play it like tomorrow, I would probably be terrible at it. It would only take him probably like a very short period, like 10, 15 minutes, and he would most likely have it, because he just has that natural athletic ability. Mm-hmm. But when I was in school many moons ago, and it always seemed like the more popular girls were either cheerleaders, or more commonly, they were cheerleaders and then they also played sports. So I kind of associated athleticism with being popular. And you know, that, and my brother had that, you know, I had very few friends. I had the friends that I did have. I had very good friends, but my brother was very popular and played sports and had all kinds of friends. So I guess in that sense, I was envious of him because I did associate athleticism and or extracurricular activities in general with popularity. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. When was the first time you seen A League of Their Own?
This came out, what, 92?
Yes, this was July 92? 1st, 1992.
So I don't think I saw it when it first came out, but I know for a fact that I definitely saw it in the 90s.
Did you?
Because I remember that's when Gina Davis was really big. You know, Beetlejuice was 89.
Yeah, she basically did Beetlejuice, Thelma and Louise, and then this.
Right. Which, so, I mean, she was big, and I remember seeing it in the 90s and remembering that, you know, she was a big star, and then Madonna was in it, and Madonna had her music career, and I loved Madonna, so I definitely remember seeing this sometime in the 90s.
You know what I find funny is, like, Madonna is kind of like, was like the Taylor Swift of like this era. Like, mm-hmm. as this movie gets older, it's like, to me, it didn't feel like it was as big of a deal that Madonna was in this as it was back when you see it in theaters.
Yeah, maybe that's because we're getting older and so is Madonna. you know,
I mean, it's just not as, I mean, she's still culturally relevant, but not mm-hmm. like.
But it's like you see her now and it's like, oh, Madonna's in it. And like, that's just
it's like in the night, it's like, oh, shit, they got Madonna in right. this too. I remember seeing this in the movie theater because like at around this time, like this is when I really fell in love with going to the movies all the time. Like it's mm-hmm. seriously one of my favorite things to do. Mm-hmm. And I would probably go to the movies two or three times a week.
Wow. As,
yeah. I mean, during the summer, because I mean, in my neck of the woods, we kind of grew up not, you know, the richest family in the world. So it's either like we were outside playing, we would go mm-hmm. to the swimming pool, or we would go to the movies. So mm-hmm. I do remember seeing this in the movie theater. I fucking loved it. Tom Hanks right before he takes off really big. This mm-hmm. is pretty much the start of probably the best run any actor or actress has ever had.
Right.
Feelings on Tom Hanks. We've done a Tom Hanks Hall of Fame episode, which this movie did make the Tom Hanks Hall of Fame.
Oh, I love Tom Hanks. I would say that my favorite performance by him is definitely in the movie Big. I absolutely love that movie. And I think if I think back, that's when I really remember seeing Tom Hanks have a major role. I don't know if that was his first major role. I don't know.
He had started in some stuff for Flash, and then he had Big was 88. So yeah, I mean, he had starred in some movies, but that's like the first, like Splash was like his breakout role. And then like Big was the movie that like, oh, hey,
yeah. See,
this guy's like a serious.
When was Splash made? Because
Splash was like 84, I think.
See, I was only two. And I know.
Have you ever seen it?
No, I have not.
It's a good movie. Ron Howard directed it. Daryl Hannah's a mermaid.
Daryl Hannah. That's right. I want to say that I've seen snippets of it, but I know I haven't sat through the whole thing. But I just remember, you know, I saw Big. I'm pretty certain either the year it came out or the year after. So, I mean, I was like 6-7 years old. Mm. And that's what I remember him most being in first as far as like a leading role. And then I remember seeing him in this. And I just thought he was just hilarious as the part of Jimmy Dugan. I mean, that is right. Did I pronounce the last name correctly?
Jimmy Dugan. Okay.
But yeah, I just thought he was a hoot. And I mean, it was so in contrast to some of the other roles that he's had, you know, in some of the movies, he plays like a boy next door, goody goody. I mean, you know what I mean? And then in this movie, he's a World War
He didn't serve in World War II. He couldn't because his knees were messed up.
Oh, his knees were messed up. Okay, so he was supposed to serve in the military. So then he becomes a professional ball player. And
well, no, he wasn't like supposed to serve. Like he, during this time, a lot of like this is when the draft was enacted. So a lot of players were called to service. Like, have you heard of Ted Williams?
Yeah, he was in the military.
Ted Williams was like a famous, I think he was an army
player. So he was already playing baseball professionally when he got drafted. Okay. Yep. I gotcha.
And this probably would have been Jimmy Dugan too, but he tells the infamous story where he jumps out of a window and messes his knee up so he can't, because he has no cartilage left in his knee, he can't be a useful soldier.
Jimmy Dugan.
Yeah. It ends up shortening his career too.
Yeah. Right. Of baseball. Yeah. But I mean, I think that's why he falls hard into drinking. And then when you first see him in the movie and he's just drunk, like the entire time that he's coaching, traveling, whatever, that's just a big contrast. And, you know, like a movie like Big or. You know, whatnot. Yeah. So I really enjoyed his character in that movie for sure.
Tom Hanks's credits, 92 through 2000.
It's a lot.
These are the films that Tom Hanks did in this period. He did A League of Their Own, 93, Sleepless in Seattle and Philadelphia, his first Oscar. 94, Forrest Gump, second Academy Award.
One of my favorites.
He did Apollo 13 and Toy Story in 95. 96, he made his directorial debut with That Thing You Do, which I don't know if you've seen that.
I have.
Great movie.
Mm-hmm. It is a good movie.
98, Saving Private Ryan and You've Got Mail and Toy Story 2. 99, The Green Mile, and 2000, Castaway.
But those aren't the last.
He's made movies since then, but like that's like
that's a lot.
That's a murderer's row of awesome.
It's a lot for sure.
He should have won an Oscar for Castaway, but I'm not going to get into that. Gina Davis also. She was in the midst of probably the peak of her powers at the time. Whatever happened to her? She never really got like this. Was probably it for her.
She was in some other stuff.
I mean, she appeared in some movies, but I don't think she ever got as, like, her star was never quite as big as it was at this point.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I can see that.
Because, like, after A League of Their Own, she did a movie called Hero.
I've never even heard or seen that.
It's got Dustin Hoffman in it.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I mean, she never really... I probably after A League of Their Own, the film she's probably most known for is The Long Kiss Goodnight, very underrated action movie with her and Samuel Jackson. But she also, her husband and her did a movie together called Cutthroat Island, a pirate movie. It bankrupted a studio.
Shit.
Yeah, Carlico Pictures, they produced Terminator 2, Basic. I mean, they were pretty big there for a while. Yeah. And then, yeah, bankrupted the studio.
Who's her husband?
Well, she's not married to him anymore, but he's Rennie Harlan. He was a director.
He
did Cutthroat Island. He did Cliffhanger.
Did he act in Cutthroat Island or he directed it?
He directed
Cutthroat. Oh, and it bankrupted the studio, huh?
Yeah, because they invested so much money into this and it flopped. Well, I personally think that's the reason why her career never really got back to the heights that it was prior to this, is because like she really wasn't a bankable star anymore.
That's crazy. Wasn't she in Mars Attacks? Or
no, she wasn't in Mars Attacks.
Okay. Earth Girls Are Easy.
Yep.
That's it. That's what I'm thinking of. That was a great, that was with Jeff Goldblum, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, actually, she was married to Jeff Goldblum.
In real life?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were on The Fly together.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she sounds like her star was brightest in the 80s then.
Yeah, she was in The Fly in 86. I don't know. Have you ever seen that?
I have seen The Fly. I love that movie.
She's in Beetlejuice, The Accidental Tourist. She got nominated for an Oscar for that. That doesn't really seem like that's your wheelhouse. It's not my wheelhouse either.
You said she got an Academy Award?
She got nominated. She didn't win an Oscar.
I was going to say, I've never even heard of it. So.
And then, she did Thelma and Louise, which is a movie I think we need to do sometime.
Great movie.
I haven't seen it in forever, but yeah. I haven't either. I'm a big fan of, it's Ridley Scott, so big fan of his work. But yeah, I mean, she never really.
Mm-mm. I mean, she does cons and things like that. It makes you stand like 8 feet apart from her or something.
Yeah, there was a convention that her and Susan Sarandon were at recently where they had like this divider in between them and the person that paid to take their picture, and it looked like it looked like they had photoshopped like seven other people out of the photo.
Right. Why were her and Susan Sarandon doing a convention together?
Probably
then?
Because it's Thelma and Louise.
Oh yeah, yeah, does Susan Sarandon was in that?
Yeah,
duh.
All right. Well, the categories: A League of Their Own is rated PG, so it's family friendly. It was released on July 1st, 1992, this stars Tom Hanks, Gina Davis, Madonna, Lori Petty, Rosie O'Donnell, David Strathairn, and John Lovitz, directed by Penny Marshall, who also directed Big.
Yes.
Rotten Tomatoes score of 81% from critics and 84% from audiences. The consensus was sentimental and light, but still thoroughly charming. A League of Their Own is buoyed, I think I pronounced that right, by solid performances from a wonderful cast. Box office budget of $42 million made $132 million worldwide. This was selected for preservation by the U.S. National Film Registry in 2012, which means it's a culturally significant film.
Right.
And you can stream this on AMC+.
Not the cock?
Nope, it's not on the cock.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Keep your mind out of the gutter.
Not in the gutter. That's what you call a peacock. And when something is streaming on Peacock, you say it's streaming on the cock, or you know.
Don't be like me. I'm not a role model. I'm not a role model.
You're not?
Don't follow my lead.
Oh.
I know it's disappointing to the kids out there. Did you know? These are some interesting fun facts, tidbits about the behind scenes production of this movie.
Let's hear it.
This movie is based on the real-life All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, which ran from 1943 to 1954. Despite the film portraying the league as struggling to stay afloat in the beginning, it was actually pretty successful from the get-go, peaking at 900,000 paid spectators during the 1948 season.
Wow.
This was attributed to being in cities that couldn't watch baseball live. So it wasn't in like major markets like Boston, New York, Philadelphia. It was in smaller towns.
So were the Rockford Peaches a real team? They were. About the other team that Kit ended up going to play for?
Racine, yeah.
Yeah, they were real too?
Okay. I forget what their nickname
Where
was.
Where is Rockford, though?
I believe it's in Illinois.
Illinois? Okay. And then Racine's in...
I think it's in Indiana.
Indiana. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, Midwestern gals.
I wasn't prepared for you to throw some geography questions at me.
I was just curious. I thought they were just made up team names.
Nope. They're actually, they are legitimate cities. But yeah, they said that was, at least historians believe, Racine is actually in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
And Rockford is in Illinois.
It's in Illinois. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, like those are typically towns like Wisconsin had. I don't even think Milwaukee was they had a team. No, they didn't have a team at the time. So yeah, a lot of these cities didn't have local baseball teams that they could go watch. So, hey, we can go watch baseball.
They didn't do the typical big cities like Cincinnati or things like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gina Davis was a replacement for Debra Winger. Are you familiar with Debra Winger?
I am not. I figured that Gina Davis would have just been the first pick.
No, Debra Winger was originally cast as Dottie. Debra Winger, probably best known for An Officer and a Gentleman. Have you seen that one?
I have.
That's Debra Winger. And have you ever seen Terms of Endearment?
Probably.
That has Shirley MacLaine, Jack Nicholson's in that, Jeff Daniels.
Probably, but it's been one of those that it's probably been a long time since I've seen that.
Well, that's Debra Winger.
Oh, okay.
She joined the film as a replacement for Debra Winger only days before it was supposed to start filming. Debra Winger left the project due to the casting of Madonna in the movie.
I'm looking her up because I couldn't remember what she looked like.
You could probably recognize her face if you've seen her. She's kind of she doesn't really do a whole lot. I know she's been notorious. She's passed on a couple of roles for one reason or another.
Yeah, she looks familiar. I just can't really remember anything.
Yeah, she hasn't, her heyday was in the 80s.
In the 80s? Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
But, I think from what I read, that Debra Winger was afraid that this movie was going to turn into an Elvis movie because they cast a singer in a prominent role.
Oh, because Madonna. Yeah. Oh, gotcha. All the focus would be on her and that would be it kind of a thing?
It would be kind of hammy. Because, I don't know if you've ever watched Elvis Presley movies, but
I have not.
Charming as they are, they're a bit on the hammy side.
So they're hokey and the acting's just way over the top. Does he break out in song all the time?
He incorporates music into the movies.
Yeah. Madonna didn't really do that, though, with this. I mean, she had the song at the end, but she didn't, break out into song during the movie or anything, did she? Not that I recall.
No, she... Yeah. Well, she was part of that song they did, that song that, I forget the baseball player that wrote it in the back of the bus.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of it either. It was the one that had the really annoying little kid, I think. Maybe?
Stillwell?
No, it wasn't his mom that came up with it. No, I mean, his mom that came up with it. Was it her that wrote it?
I think it was.
Yeah, I can't remember her name from the movie, but I remember the annoying little boy.
Oh, Stillwell?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's coming up. It's interesting that you brought up the Madonna song featured in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That movie's not on the League of Their Own soundtrack.
The what?
The song is called This Used to Be My Playground.
Yeah, I know the song.
It's not on the actual soundtrack.
Why?
Because Madonna put it on one of her albums.
Oh, so she didn't want it on the soundtrack?
Right.
Oh, but was that song created specifically for the movie? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they released it as a standalone single.
Oh, nice. Because she probably made more money that way, honestly.
Penny Marshall required that the actresses that were cast in this movie, they needed to prove they could actually play baseball.
That they could play baseball?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. All of the actresses did their own baseball playing too. So yeah,
that's cool. No doubles or anything.
Right? I imagine they had to get some creative licensing with Madonna the way they filmed her, because you don't see her really doing a lot. And then the scene where Dottie does the splits and makes the catch on the foul ball, that is a stunt double.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Okay, Okay. I mean, that makes sense. That would be kind of hard to do.
But I guess from what I was reading too, Gina Davis had never really played baseball. And really? I guess she picked it up very quickly and became like really good, like one of the best players on the set.
Really? And that's awesome.
I guess if they were going to rank who was the best baseball player amongst the cast of actresses, that Rosie O'Donnell was actually...
She was the best
like,
one.
Really good. Like Penny Marshall actually said, looked like she'd been playing all of her life.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't like Rosie O'Donnell, but...
Yeah, she had a moment. Then seemed like after her like she'd done the talk shows when she kind of got... Like, I didn't mind her so much in movies, but then when she got the talk show... I don't know if it's the fact that my mom was a huge fan of that talk show.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, like that. And then like without skipping a beat, like after Rosie O'Donnell's show ended, she went right into Ellen's talk show.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's the fact that like just watching Rosie O'Donnell every day, it's like, okay.
I don't know. For me, it's like Exit to Eden and seeing her in, is that right? Exit to Eden, that terrible, terrible movie. And if I'm not mistaken, she had like... BDSM like leathers and different things on in that movie and then just seeing her like in a movie A League of Their Own. I think the biggest thing for me for League of Their Own, she just kind of tried to be that over the top friend, and it was her, to me, you were talking about like musicians being hammy in movies, to me she was hammy in that movie
in all I've only seen that movie one time.
I didn't even make it through the whole thing. It was so terrible.
Well, my friend Jeff, as I've mentioned numerous times on the program, he wanted to see it because he thought there would be nudity in it. So he convinced me to go see it.
Nice.
Yeah, he was, he's like...
There is no nudity if I'm...
Oh, yeah, there is.
Is there? I just haven't... Is Rosie O'Donnell nude in it?
No, she's
okay,
not.
Okay, I was going to say, I didn't think so. But, Lord, I haven't seen that in forever. Because it came out on HBO, I think.
No, it was a theatrical.
Was it theatrical? Oh, for some reason, I thought it was an HBO original.
Nope, I wish it were, because if that was the case, I wouldn't have been dragged to see it in the movie. But.
Yeah, I don't know.
We've all made movie mistakes.
It's very true.
I found this little tidbit to be weird. The older Dottie Henson that they showed at the beginning of the movie, I thought for years that that was actually Gina Davis in makeup. I was like, that looks somewhat like her, but it doesn't look exactly like her. I'm like, they did a really good job with the makeup. That's a completely different actress.
And then they use her voice, right?
Yeah. Lynn Cartwright plays the older Dottie Henson.
Is that a... famous name a random?
I had never heard of Lynn Cartwright until I researched this.
So she's like an extra in a sense. Well,
apparently she had a pretty big career in the 40s and 50s, but a big star of that era.
Gotcha.
Lori Petty auditioned 8 times for the role of Kit, including once at Penny Marshall's house.
Why so many times?
I don't know. I think it was just one of those things where she had to, like, Penny Marshall just wasn't ready to commit to her fully, and then...
But 8 times?
Yeah.
She must have really wanted to be on that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
Director Penny Marshall cast her daughter, Tracy Reiner, as Betty Spaghetti. Betty Spaghetti is... You'll probably remember her.
Is she the Italian lady that her husband died?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she got that bad news.
Yeah, and Jimmy Dugan read it, and then I think secretly he was wanting it to be Dottie's husband, because I think there was something there.
Yeah.
She also cast her brother, Gary Marshall, who's a famous director, too. You may have heard of a couple of movies he's done. He did Pretty Woman.
Oh, wow.
Runaway Bride.
Okay.
Yeah. Cast him as Walter Harvey. Gary Marshall was cast at the very last minute because they couldn't nail down the original choice for Walter Harvey. And you want to take a wild stab on who that was supposed to be?
I have no idea. I wouldn't even know.
Christopher Walken.
Oh, that would have been perfect. Love Christopher Walken.
I thought this was kind of cool, too. Marissa Tomei sent an audition tape for this.
For which part?
Didn't say in the research, but she sent an audition tape to be a part of this movie, and Penny Marshall didn't cast her.
Weird. I could have seen her being in it, too.
Yeah. I want to say this is pre... This might have been pre-My Cousin Vinny, because she wasn't really a well-known actress, and then she exploded.
She exploded after My Cousin Vinny?
Well, yeah, she won an Oscar for it, too.
Wow.
Yeah, she's fantastic in that movie. That movie's really good, too. Another movie we got to do at some point.
That has Steve Martin in it, doesn't it?
No, it has Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci, that's right. I get them confused because they look completely different. I have
never heard anybody get Steve Martin and Joe Pesci confused.
I don't know
until 8:47 p.m. tonight. yeah, she was filming. She would have been filming My Cousin Vinny at the time, so she wasn't quite a big star yet. I'm sure if they would have made this movie in 93, she probably would have been cast in.
Gotcha.
Considering all the baseball movies that have come out over the years, A League of Their Own is the most successful baseball movie financially of all time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Hmm. $132 million. It's made more than Bull Durham and Field of Dreams combined.
Wow.
Which those are pretty much considered a couple of the classics of the genre.
Right.
So that's all the fun facts we got for you. There's quite a bit of stuff you can really dig into if you're interested more in the story of especially the baseball league. There was tons of stuff, but I mean, just some of the stuff I was reading, it would have been the whole episode, me just rattling off some of the cool, fun facts about. So yeah, tons of stuff to dig into. Penny Marshall actually got the idea for this movie watching a documentary about the league. I think it was a PBS documentary.
Oh, that's cool.
The Martin Scorsese, this is Cinema Award for the best scene of the movie. And since you're our guest, I always like to lead off with our guest. What was your favorite scene of the movie, or a few of your favorite moments of the movie?
I liked Jimmy Dugan when he made his first appearance
in the dugout.
That, and then when he had to go out on the field and wave his hat, and he's just like muttering to himself, wave your little hat, and he's just like mumbling, and you know he's cursing. And then if I'm not mistaken, prior to that, when they first met him, he was hammered out of his mind. And, you know, the one Stillwell's mom, I think she's the one that wanted him to sign the baseball.
Betty Spaghetti,
okay. Well, and then she was trying to talk to him, if I'm not mistaken. And he's just like, he's not even seeing any of them. He just goes and starts peeing.
That movie piss is coming up later on, too.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that part's hilarious. Like, what a great first impression. Then when he steps out on the field during the game and he's like, wave your little phone high. You know, he's drunk, and you know that he's just cursing under his breath. But
I think he tells people to kiss his ass,
too. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
But I mean, I love that scene. I think it's hilarious.
That is a good one. Anything else stand out to you? Or?
I like it when Dottie does the splits. I think that's really awesome. I really like the kind of the beginning of the movie, and then I think there's a segue in the middle, and then the end where they're going around the museum and they're seeing one another older, and then they play that game, and then they all break out in song. I think that's really cool how they do, you know, like the majority of this movie is in a sense a flashback. I mean, because it does start, you know, with the present, and I just like how they are in the present and they do the flashback and things like that. And I like how they're combining, this isn't really a scene, but I like the scenes of the present and then how they flip back and forth, and it's just so well tied together.
Mm-hmm. My favorite scene is when Dottie is leaving, when Bob comes home,
mm-hmm.
and they're leaving, and then Jimmy tries to talk her out of not leaving.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
And she basically tells him it got to be too hard, and he has that really awesome line where I have it in front of me. I don't want to mess it up, but she said, sneaking out like this, quitting, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. Baseball is what gets inside of you. It's what lights you up. You can't deny that. And Dottie says, it just got too hard. And then Jimmy says, it's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The heart is what makes it great, which is absolutely, if you've ever played baseball, it's absolutely the truth.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's my favorite sequence in the movie. Simply just for that bit of dialogue. I mean, that to me, that really showed kind of what we were going to get with Tom Hanks, you know, coming up with that awesome run of movies. And now he's arguably one of the greatest actors of all time.
Oh, for sure.
I also like the sequence, where you meet Jimmy Dugan for the first time when he's having the meeting with Mr. Harvey, and he drops that line. He says he quit drinking, and Mr. Harvey says, oh, did you finally see the error of your ways? Jimmy goes, no, frankly, Mr. Harvey, I just can't afford it.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
But yeah, that's my favorite scene in the movie. Also, a lot like we discussed with the fun facts, that a lot of really good baseball sequences in this movie too.
Yeah. Yep.
I just love like any of the, I'm sucker for a montage. So any of the baseball montage stuff is always really cool too.
Oh, absolutely.
But what, if the best scene in the movie, what would you give it to?
And honestly, anything with Jimmy Dugan.
I'm going to nominate mine simply because it's a
which
really
one good, of yours? Because you mentioned a couple.
The scene where Dottie's leaving.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I could get with that.
All right. Thank you for, didn't put up much of a fight on that one.
Well, I mean, I like.
Even though you're brandishing brass knuckles in front of me right now.
Yeah, totally. I like just more cornier things more so than what you do. I liked seeing Tom Hanks in a less serious role.
Well, yeah.
And not that he wasn't serious at times, but that's why my favorite scenes involving him are a lot different than yours. Yeah. And that's all.
Now, the Andy Dufresne Get Busy Living or Get Busy Dying award for the best or most quotable line from the movie. I think this one's got to be pretty obvious. It's got to be "There's no crying in baseball."
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's great. And the way he said, "There's no crying in baseball."
I think the American Film Institute, they do the most quotable lines. Famous, yeah, the AFI most famous quotes. I believe the "No Crying in Baseball" did make it. Let's see. I want to say that I remember seeing that it made the cut for the top 100.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, it's easily the most quotable line from that movie for sure. I mean, there's a lot of really good stuff in there, but I mean, the fact that to this day, I'm sure that somebody has said that, whether it's a little league game or, you know, a high school game, or even in a, you know, somebody gets upset because of something that they did in a, you know, in a game, even a major league. Oh, it's actually number 54.
Wow.
In AFI's top 100.
What's
most
one?
What's one?
Yeah, I want to know what one is.
All right, let me scroll.
You're looking at it, so why not?
It's "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn" from Gone with the Wind. Then number two is "I'm going to make you a, him, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse" from The Godfather.
Nice.
But yeah, I think it's got to be that one.
I like that one.
Yeah. Well, that was easy. The McLovin Award for the best supporting or scene stealing performance. Now, this is the award that we give to somebody that's not featured in the movie quite as much as, you know, the leads. I'm nominating John Lovitz as Scout Ernie Cappadino. I think I pronounced the last name right.
What does he play in the movie?
He's the scout. John Lovitz is the scout that goes to recruit Dottie.
Oh, yeah, Kit. Yeah. Okay.
Now, for me, this is really saying something because I am on record as saying that I am not a fan of John Lovitz at all.
I don't like John Lovitz either.
I know a lot of people
rubs you some kind of way. I don't know. That for me, that's what it is. He's just weird, gross. I don't know.
He's just always reminded me of if you have a sibling that's close to you in age,
mm-hmm.
he's the annoying one that does whatever he can to get on your nerves.
And it's not,
and like,
it's not even charming. It's just fucking annoying. Okay. I can see that. But grates really, on your nerves.
Yeah. But I do find his performance in this really, mm-hmm. really good. I mean,
I could see that.
I mean, the only other person I could have really, really nominated. I mean, David Strathairn as Ira, the guy that's trying to keep the league afloat. I mean, mm-hmm. he's good, but I don't know. I think in terms of like supporting it, John Lovitz kind of stands out
mm-hmm.
the most in this.
Yeah. See, I like Stillwell.
Well, Stillwell's coming up.
Oh, so, but that's who, I mean, if you're asking me what my choice is, it would be Stillwell.
Oh, Stillwell. Okay. The child or the adult? Because we get him as an adult and as a child.
The child.
Oh.
Yeah.
Somebody need to take that kid out. I'm glad Jimmy Dugan did.
I know. I think that's part of the reason why I like him so much is because he's always getting Jimmy Dugan riled up. And then in that scene where he's chased him around the bus and saying he's going to kill him, it's just so hilarious. And he's crying, like running with his lollipop. And it's just great.
The IMDb drug dealer number 2 award for the actor or actress you've seen in the movie, but you don't know who their name is. I am nominating Mark Holton, who played the older Stillwell.
Oh, okay.
You may recognize him. He played Chubby in Teen Wolf, and he was also Francis in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Oh. The one that stole Pee-wee's bike.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's
Mark Holton is gotcha. The older Stillwell.
Okay. Got it.
Is there anybody you want to nominate or?
And what award is this again?
It's called the IMDb Drug Dealer Number 2 Award. Now, this is a new category that we brought up. You haven't been on the show since we've charted this one out.
Okay.
It's for the actor or actress. Like, you've seen them and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know who they are. This is kind of like the variation of, I really wanted to call this something with Rick Dalton. You know, the meme where Rick Dalton from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is mm-hmm. watching TV and he points at the screen.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I wanted to go with, but
gotcha.
Couldn't think of anything clever enough.
I can't really think of anyone other than the Grins, and I already forgot his name. The guy that played adult Stillwell.
Mark Holton.
Mark Holton. That would be the only one I could honestly think of. I mean, most of the other ones that stick out to me, I know, you know,
I've
their
seen
name.
Tracy Reiner, who played Betty Spaghetti. I've seen her and stuff.
Okay, see, I didn't recognize her at all.
I did not know that that was Penny Marshall's daughter. It's actually dad is Rob Reiner, the famous director.
Geez, there's just a whole family of directors.
Yeah, dang. Well, they've since have divorced, but.
Oh, I mean, husband, brother, like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's the one I can think of simply because he was Francis in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and I hated Francis so much as a kid because he fucked over.
So mean to Pee-wee.
The most 1992 moment of the movie really isn't one since this movie takes place during World War II. I will say that this is probably the peak era for baseball movies.
Mm-hmm.
From 88 to 92, we got Major League, Bull Durham, Field of Dreams, and this one. And those are most people, those would be on most people's top 5 list of best baseball movies of all time. Some people may have The Natural, they may have The Sandlot, but most people are going to have those movies on their top 5.
Right.
So
right.
That would be the most 92 moment.
So for me, I think it would be, am I allowed to have one?
Yes.
Or you're
by
just
all
your
means.
Name.
Yeah, oh, okay. It's not me ruling.
So the present day is kind of 90s. Like the present day Dottie, for example, like she's got like clunky jewelry on, if I'm not mistaken. And like her hair's kind of like that old lady feathered style of the 90s.
Don't they go to Cooperstown in a station wagon too?
I believe so. And then some of the old, some of the ladies that are there, they're wearing like those like tracksuit looking things that you would see older ladies wear back then. So, I mean, that the present day is really what reminds me of the 90s more so than anything
else.
That's
a good call, yeah.
Or 92, how, whatever, if we need to be specific, but
yeah,
that's what it reminds me
of. That's a good call. We'll give it to that one.
Okay.
Because, yeah, Dottie rocking the JCPenney.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, her blazer and her silky looking shirt underneath it with the paisley print or whatever it was.
Another new category we're trotting out. This is the Indiana Jones It Belongs in a Museum Award for the piece of memorabilia that you would take from this movie to display in your home. So, like, what piece from this movie would you, like, if you had, like, hey, we're going to give you, like, $5,000, but you have to spend it at a movie auction and buy something from this movie, what would you buy with it?
Dottie's glove.
Oh, okay. I was going to go with Jimmy Dugan's Rockford Peaches jersey.
Oh, there you go. And the hat. Got to get a hat
if
in there.
I get the hat, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
if
you
I
don't
pick
hat.
One, I would take the jersey.
The jersey, yeah.
Which I guess I seen this when we took our kids to our local Columbus Zoo does a Halloween-themed event called Boo at the Zoo every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this was, I think, 2021, I want to say. I seen some kids wearing, some girls that are probably 7, 8 years old wearing Rockford Peaches.
Oh, really?
Trick or treating.
That's so cute. That's cool. I don't remember that, but
yeah,
that's awesome. I wasn't paying attention. That could have been it too.
That could have been it too.
Yeah, that's okay.
The Hall of Fame. This is the part of the show where we award. We would ask you if there's a movie Hall of Fame. Would this actor or actress, would this movie be on their Hall of Fame plaque?
Okay.
Which basically, like in the as an example for Major League Baseball, since we're talking about Major League Baseball,
mm-hmm.
when a player goes into the Hall of Fame, they usually get to choose what hat they wore if they played for like multiple teams. Like, mm-hmm. As an example, I'll just use Barry Bonds. He played for the Pirates and the San Francisco Giants. He would probably pick the San Francisco Giants hat to be on his Hall of Fame plaque. So when you go into the movie Hall of Fame, would this movie be the movie that would be featured on this actor or actress's plaque? So Tom Hanks, would this be the movie that would be featured on Tom Hanks's Hall of Fame plaque? I'm going to say no.
You can only pick one?
Only pick one movie.
No, I don't think so.
What would be Hanks's? I would say probably Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump for me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just I don't think it's his best role. I have been on record of saying.
Yeah, I think that it's his most memorable.
It's pop culture. Everyone's going to remember Forrest Gump. Now, this one I thought was very interesting. Gina Davis. Would this movie be on her Hall of Fame plaque?
Yes.
I'm kind of leaning towards yes, too.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it's this or Thelma and Louise.
I mean, Thelma and Louise is great, but when you're talking about having more significance, like long term, I would think of this movie before I would think of Thelma and Louise.
Well, I
honestly.
Mean, I don't think Thelma and Louise has the iconic ending.
Oh, for sure.
And like Thelma and Louise was a huge deal when it came out because it kind of sparked this, like had this conversation about like domestic violence. Like, cause mm-hmm. I mean, primarily it's sparked by the fact Gina Davis is tired of her husband's shit.
Right. Right.
So I don't know. I think it's tough, but I think, I don't know, because I know Gina, I think Gina Davis got nominated for an Oscar for Thelma and Louise. She didn't for this one, but this one is.
She did for this one or did not?
Did not.
Oh,
but
okay.
She did for, I think, I'm pretty sure she did for Thelma and Louise.
Okay.
So it's really a matter of whether it's artistic success or, you know, pop culture success. So.
I mean, I would say this would be artistic success, and then Thelma and Louise would probably be more culture success, right?
Well, like, I mean, like, artistic success would be, to me, like, she's recognized for her peers, for her work. I mean, that's what the Academy Awards.
Right. And I would look more so at this versus Thelma and Louise, honestly. Maybe because it's more of like a historical movie, and I don't know.
I mean, I'm totally cool giving it to this. I mean, I'm sure if you ask most people, name a Gina Davis movie, they will probably, the two answers would be this or Thelma and Louise. Unless they're talking to you, then you'd probably say like Beetlejuice or The Fly.
I would say Beetlejuice.
Madonna as an actress. I would say easily yes, because essentially it's this or Dick Tracy are the only movies that she's been in that are
she's good. Been in Evita.
Oh yeah, didn't she get nominated for an Oscar for that one?
I believe she did.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to take a look at that while we discuss. But I forgot all about Evita. I've actually never seen that.
I have not either, but I do enjoy the music from it.
Isn't that the song that Don't Cry For Me, Argentina? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, she did really good at that song.
Oh, let's see.
I think they did that in the 90s.
She did not get nominated for an Oscar.
She didn't? Oh, no, for some reason not. I thought she did. Maybe it was the music that did.
The music did.
The music? Okay, then that's what I'm thinking of. I knew something
Madonna,
got nominated.
Madonna did not.
Oh.
But I would say, I'm still going to say this.
Yeah.
No, she did not get nominated for an Oscar for this.
Oh, okay.
She did win Best Original Song. She did get nominated for a Golden Globe, but the Golden Globes
for the
are kind
song?
Of, no, as for her performance, but the Golden Globes are kind of a joke award show anyways.
Gotcha.
We don't recognize them here on our show.
Oh.
So I'm going to say yes.
Agreed.
But, I mean, you did bring a compelling case, so I thought this was a slam dunk, but then you said Evita. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess that one could maybe get a little run.
Could get in the mix.
Lori Petty. She plays Kit.
Yeah, I know who she plays, but I don't really know enough about what she's done to...
I would say it's this or Point Break. She plays Keanu Reeves' love interest in Point Break.
See, I don't think
she was
I've...
also in Tank Girl.
I haven't seen Tank Girl, and if I've seen Point Break, I recognize the name of that, but it's been a long time if I've seen that.
Oh, my dear, I got the perfect episode to do at some point.
Oh.
It's a reaction episode where I introduce you to the iconic action classic Point Break.
Oh, okay. Iconic in a good way or a bad way?
No, Point Break is one of my top 10 favorite action movies of all time. I fucking love it. It has, the surfers, the ex-presidents that rob banks. It's got Keanu Reeves. He plays Johnny Utah, an FBI agent who is sent undercover to infiltrate the ex-presidents.
Okay.
Who are led by Patrick Swayze.
Oh, nice.
Keanu Reeves' partner is... one Gary Busey.
Oh, very good.
And then, yeah, it has Lori Petty in it.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's happening now. We have to do a reaction episode to where you watch Point Break for the first time.
Okay, we can do that.
But I'm going to say, since you don't know, you've never seen Point Break, I'm going to go with this as Lori Petty's Hall of Fame plaque.
Yes.
Although I don't think Lori Petty's getting into the acting Hall of Fame.
Well, why not?
I just... body work's not that good. I mean, sure, not enough to warrant consideration. And the last one that I have is Penny Marshall.
Well, I don't know a lot about Penny Marshall.
Well, Penny Marshall is most known as she's Laverne and Shirley.
She directed Laverne and Shirley?
No, she was in Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, okay.
But to rattle off some of her films, she did Jumping Jack Flash, has Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay.
The look on your face tells me you probably have not seen it.
I have not.
Big.
You're talking about movies she's directed,
right? Directed, yes.
Okay.
Awakenings. That's got De Niro and Robin Williams.
Okay.
Have you ever seen that?
Mm-mm.
De Niro plays a guy that's pretty much kind of in a vegetable state. And Robin Williams is this doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, so I'm probably really fucking up the synopsis here. But he finds this drug that wakes these people up, and they start like living their lives.
Hmm. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's just okay.
Yeah. I remember liking it a lot when I was younger, but I watched it 10 years ago. I'm like, yeah, this movie's a little overrated.
Gotcha.
A League of Their Own. She did Renaissance Man. Danny DeVito teaches the army kids.
Yeah, I've seen Renaissance Man.
The Preacher's Wife with Denzel Washington.
I don't think I've seen
it. And then she did Riding in Cars with Boys, which that has
Drew Barrymore. I love Riding in Cars with Boys.
I've never seen it.
Love that movie. Yeah.
So that's what she would do. I would say it's between this and Big.
I'm going to have to give it to Big because I actually love Big more than I love A League of Their Own. So
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. That movie's it's just great.
All right. So that wraps up the Hall of Fame portion of the show.
Okay.
Burning questions. I got a few here. These are questions about the movie that kind of you're left wondering after the movie's over. Do you think Dottie dropped that ball on purpose at the end of Game 7 to give Kit her moment? Or do you think Kit actually legitimately hit Dottie hard enough to where the ball falls out of her hand?
I don't know.
I am of the belief that I think she did.
She dropped it on purpose? Yeah, I mean,
To give Kit her moment.
Yeah, I mean, I could say that's more likely, but again, I don't know. It could have went either way. I mean, Dottie didn't really cut her any slack the rest of the movie, so
that's why I think she did it.
Maybe.
It's like, maybe.
I mean, that makes sense for sure, but
because I mean, everything Kit wasn't even going to get taken.
Mhm. Right.
And then she always got overshadowed by Dottie was obviously the star of that league.
Right. Right.
And then they had their falling out. Dottie asked to be traded.
Mhm.
They trade Kit instead.
Right. Yeah, she just kept getting blow by blow by blow the whole movie.
Mm. And I think that, especially considering that Kit blew the lead and she was all worked up. And I think that, I know Dottie told, I forget the girl's name, it was the pitcher, but she told him that Kit, can't lay off the high fastballs.
Right, right. Yep.
But
yeah, she let her do it.
If Dottie doesn't leave to go back home with Bob, do you think that series goes 7 full games? I don't think it does. Because I think Rockford's obviously the best team in that league. Do you think this movie would have been better if Jimmy and Dottie hooked up?
Do I think it would have been better?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or would you like to have seen?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I'm of the belief that no, I'm glad that they never did, because that would be a pretty shitty thing for Dottie to do to her husband.
Well, no. Cheat on him. I'm talking about if her husband wasn't around, say he was the one that got killed.
Oh, well,
they got together. No. I'm not talking about her cheating on her husband. I'm talking about if her husband had died instead of Betty Spaghetti's, then yeah, I would have liked to have seen that.
I was referencing more throughout the course of this movie. You can obviously tell there's something there between the two.
Oh, yeah.
But they never act on it.
Right.
Would you like to have seen them act on it? But
Not and cheat on her husband, no.
No.
No. Only if her husband had died instead of the other lady. That's it.
It's a good thing he didn't die, because that guy becomes the president of the United States and he leads the world against an alien invasion.
What the hell are you talking about?
Dottie's husband is played by Bill Pullman,
who
plays the president of the United States on Independence Day.
That's right.
Which you can also hear on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. The third cheap plug of the episode.
That's why you're doing that.
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
Bill Pullman? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I thought he was. I just couldn't remember.
All right.
Anywho.
best urinating scene in a movie? Would it be from this movie? Would it be Leslie Nielsen's pissing scene from The Naked Gun? Or would it be Austin Powers coming out of the cryo freeze in the original Austin Powers?
Austin Powers.
You think?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd probably be mine too. Although
I love Austin Powers.
I think Leslie Nielsen's in The Naked Gun is
pretty on point. I don't even remember what that's about.
Oh, The Naked Gun?
Mm-mm. I don't remember the ping scene specifically, no.
It's when Leslie Nielsen basically impersonates the opera singer, Enrico Palazzo. And he has his microphone. No. I take that back. It's when he is at that dinner. Like the chief of police is there and the Queen of England, and he leaves his microphone.
Oh, that's
on,
right.
And he goes to the bathroom.
He has to go really bad.
Yep. Right, but yeah, I would say Austin Powers.
Yeah, it's definitely Austin Powers for me.
All right. The last category we have is the Finding Forrester You're the Man Now Dog Award for the biggest life lesson taken from this movie. Now, is there a life lesson that this movie taught you or kind of hammered home? Like,
Not really. I don't. No.
Nothing?
Not really.
Yeah, neither did I.
No, I mean.
I mean, some of these movies will teach you life lessons. This isn't one of them.
No.
Well, I guess that if there's any life lesson, it's to say, like, hey, girls can do the same stuff that guys can.
That's right. Hell yes.
Girl power. Well, that's going to wrap it up. I do appreciate you coming on the show and filling in for Adam this week. It's always a blast having you on the show.
Well, thank you.
And I thank you for giving me a fantastic episode idea, which is going to happen sooner rather than later.
Sounds good to me.
So that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode. Be sure to follow us on social media. Links for those are in the description below. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter X, whatever it's called, TikTok. We're on all those. Be sure to give us a follow. If you like what you heard here today, please, please, please take a brief moment to leave us a 5-star review on Apple. And we also take reviews on Spotify. You can just click the little star icon and leave us a 5-star review. We appreciate it. So for this week's episode, that's going to about do it. But be sure to follow us on that. We'll give you an update on next week's episode. I think it's going to be a really, 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 really good one. So until next week, we will talk to you guys and gals later.
Bye.